It's Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day is for us to remember those who lost their lives, taken captive or trying to take captive the enemy that was trying to destroy others. So Memorial Day, we remember the veterans. And if you lost loved ones in the military, defending and helping to defend not only this country, but the freedoms of other countries, because we've done that a lot. Thank you for your sacrifice, and I thank you for your loved one's sacrifice. But as we look at this, guys, I need you to take your sin captive. Take your sin captive so it does not take out anyone else. Because believe it or not, our sin is acidic to others. And you can say, well, it's my life, I can do what I want. And you're right, it is your life and you have the freedom to do what you want. But I'm going to tell you, in the process of you exercising your freedom to sin, you are destroying those in your path. And you are setting up a cesspool of destruction for those who come along. And so Memorial Day is a time to remember. Remember those who fought for our freedoms, and to remember that we have to fight sin for the very same freedom. Or else we're going to lose. Now, I've stayed in Jude this week because I think it's very applicable or applicable, whichever side you're on, potato, potato, to understand the importance of taking captive sin, taking captive lustful desires, taking captive that which goes against God. Because if it goes against God, I promise you it goes against man. And we got to take captive that which is trying to destroy us. And that's sin. And so last week, and even through this week, what I have found, and of course my wife and occasionally my children have to deal with me, because I am very passionate. Some of you may know that, some of you may not. Hang around long enough, you'll know it. Some say intense. I use the word passion. Passion or passionate is way more acceptable than just intense. Passionate makes me lovable. Intense makes me, ooh. So I'll stay lovable. I am incredibly passionate for truth. I'm incredibly passionate for my Savior. I am incredibly passionate for you to learn and to grow. I am incredibly passionate when it comes to black and white. And in my world, right, wrong, or indifferent, in my world, gray does not exist. To me, when you say gray, all I hear is compromise. And I can't compromise. I try. I have tried in the past. And the moment I compromise, I walk away going, oh, I feel so dirty. Let me get a bath. I can't do this. Amen? Am I the only one? I was telling you, my family has to deal with me being black and white. And that could be very difficult. So pray for my family. As my daughter's going, uh-huh, yep, that's right. Guys, may you become passionate for truth. for Jesus, for God, for that which sets you free. And may we take captive that which puts us in prison. Because believe it or not, if you fail to take captive the lust of the flesh, the desires in the heart that are contrary to God, those very thoughts that you think bring enjoyment are quietly putting you in prison and locking the door. And so I just want to encourage you this Memorial Day. People died for the freedoms that we're exercising now. And so may we die to ourselves so that this can continue. Amen. All right, Jude. That had nothing to do with the sermon. It was just a prelude. All right, here we go. I'm going to Jude chapter 16, chapter 1, verse 16. If you find Jude chapter 16, throw that Bible away because it is no good. Jude verse 16. Let me think about what I'm saying. And we're going to read 16 through 19. And we're going to finish up what I started last week. Amen? And so Jude 16 says this, 16 through 19. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Again, these are people who come along and try to convince you that the things of God are wrong and that you have the right to exercise whatever it is you wish. Because remember, these false teachers, one of the biggest things they were teaching is that the flesh and the spirit realm have nothing to do with each other. And so you can love God and please yourself because there's no connection. This is Gnostics and false teaching, apostates that would come into the church and teaching people this. And I'm just going to tell you, if you satisfy the lust of the flesh, there is no way in the world that you're going to keep the Spirit of God fresh and alive in you. It's not going to happen. You will either choose God or mammon. And what I like to say, obviously, mammon is money, if you will. But what he's really saying is you either choose God, big G, or God, little g. You will either choose to please your Savior, Jesus Christ, or you will choose to please yourself. And there is no in-between. You're either going to satisfy one or the other. Ultimately, though, if you satisfy Jesus, you will be satisfied in the long run. I promise you, you haven't missed anything by giving up the lust of the flesh. You've missed nothing. The only thing you've missed is a lot of heartache in the long run. Amen? So he says here in verse 17, but you beloved, you Christian, you who say Jesus is my Lord and Savior. This is who he's talking to. Now let me say this. There's a lot of people who claim to be Christian. Oprah Winfrey claims to be Christian, but she denies Jesus Christ. So let me help you with that. There is no way you can be Christian and deny Jesus, because to be Christian literally means to be a Christ follower. And so how can you say you're a Christian but say Jesus isn't the only way to heaven? See, it doesn't work. But to those who don't know any better, that sounds good. And when you think a whole lot of somebody and they say something, you think, oh, they got to be right because they're such sweet people. Let me tell you something. The ones that Jude is talking about were sweet people on the outside. Sweet people externally. But on the inside, they were ravenous wolves looking for someone to take down. Do not allow a simple appearance or a position to convince you that they're godly. Don't do that. Because if someone comes into the church, listen, I'm just going to tell you one of the things that that is undeniable, and I want to, I got to back up, and I want to read this. because it is so true. It says, true Christianity cannot be hidden, nor is it a private religion without public effect. Did you get that? True Christianity cannot be hidden, nor is it a private religion without public effect. So those who say, my religion's personal, then that's what you have. You have religion. Right? Because if you have a relationship with Jesus, it's personal and it's public. It is so sweet to you that you got to tell someone else about it. And so if you say, listen, my religion is personal to me, I don't like to talk about it, then you're right. That's all you have is religion. Because if you have Jesus, there's no way in the world you would let someone die and go to hell because it's private to you. Because you understand the ramifications of not telling someone about Jesus. You understand the ramifications of being quiet. You understand what is going to happen if you die without Jesus. And true love says, I got to tell you the way to heaven, because if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell, and I love you so much. You got to know the truth. And I'll not be silent. I think of Penn and Teller. And he shares the testimony of a gentleman, a Christian, who went to his show, and after the show he stayed after. Literally stayed after for like 2 hours waiting on Penn to come out. And when Penn comes out, the Christian goes up to him and hands him a tract. And he says, I know you don't believe, but I can't leave here without giving you something to think about. And I don't want to take your time and be rude because I know you're a busy man. And he handed him a tract. And it affected Penn so much. Now, he didn't get saved, but he said this. He said, I admire that man. I don't agree with him, but I admire him and I respect him. Because he believes what he believes so much so that he has to have me on board. And he said, for those who call themselves Christians and they don't tell anyone about Jesus, if you really believe there's a hell, how much do you have to hate a person to be silent and let them go there? That's something to think about, amen? And so he says here, but you, beloved, you Christian, you who say, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, God is in heaven is my Father. That's the beloved. Nobody else. This is very specific to the church. To the church. Not the world. And not to anybody else, but the church. And he says this. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the message. Remember that which was spoken. Guys, do you realize that what we have here is the spoken word of God that has been penned by the apostles that God gave the words to? This is it. Let me help you real quick. Jesus says, if you don't believe this, in John 8:47, if you don't believe this, you're not of God. If you're not of God, then you're of Satan, your father, the devil, is what Jesus says. It's pretty plain. I know sometimes we don't like to hear it, but that's the obvious. Amen. I had the opportunity. It was so cool. I had the opportunity to deal with a gentleman that a police officer. God, I'm telling you, God is so good. So good. So last week I was struggling. You know, just struggling with the weight of the world, the weight of sin, the weight of this coronavirus, the weight of wearing a mask or not to wear a mask. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, the weight of all the junk that comes along with all the junk, right? And so I get a phone call, and it is the police officer when I was in the motorcycle accident a year, what's today's date? 24th. So the 27th, I was in a motorcycle accident last year, the 27th of this month. And so it'd be 1 year on the 27th. And the first officer on, the first person on scene, other than the people that lived in the house, well, I guess that's who they, where they came from. I don't really know. But I know the first responder was the police officer. And the police officer, interestingly enough, this is how God works, amen, because I was laying on the ground, and I was struggling. I'm not going to lie to you. I was struggling to deal with all of that physical that came on from the accident. And so he shows up. It just so happened to be I knew him from one of the stores that I go shopping at. He works there part time. And so he shows up and he's like, "Oh, hey, how are you, man?" I'm like, "I'm good. Now, right?" I know you guys are like, but he brought a lot of comfort to me because I was in a lot of pain, and a familiar face brings comfort. Amen. And so that night we talked and everything. Obviously, while I'm laying there, and he's driving his knee into to block off the artery in case I was internally bleeding, because I literally thought my right leg was ripped off. And I remember telling him, "I don't want to look, but is it still there?" And he looked down, and he's like, "Yep." And I go, "Then get off of it, because you're hurting me really bad." And he's like, "Nope, because if you're bleeding, you're not going to die on my shift." And so I told him, I go, "Man, I love you and I hate you all at the same time right now." And so at any rate, 3 months ago, I saw him in another store. And we were talking, and I started sharing with him Jesus. And we had about a 15-minute conversation, and then he left and I left. And then a week ago, this past Friday, it had been a week ago, this past Friday, he calls me up. And he's like, "Hey, do you got a minute to talk?" I was like, "Yeah, what's going on?" He goes, "I got a whole bunch of questions, but I don't know any of them." He goes, "I don't even know why I'm calling you." I said, "I think I know why you're calling me. Why don't you meet me at my office in 2 hours? He's like, "Okay." So we meet in my office, and we sat down, and we talked for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. At the end of our conversation, he didn't ask one question, not one, but at the end of the conversation, because I was begging God, "God, give me the words. Let me answer whatever reason he called," which I kind of knew why he called. At the end of 2.5 hours, he receives Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. And so I gave him some material. I gave him a Bible, and we talked. That was on Friday. On Saturday, he calls me, and he's like, "Pastor, my grandmother's dying. Can you come visit?" "Absolutely. Do you want me to wear a mask or no mask?" And he goes, "No mask." I said, "All right, I'll be there." So I get there. And Saturday night, I get there. And I sit and talk to his grandma. I meet his family. You know, everyone's around. And grandma says she is going to die Sunday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. And it was very nice to meet me. And she'll see me again. I'm like, "Okay, very cool." And then I left and I told him, I said, "If she dies between 8 and 9, she knows Jesus." I'm just like, how do you call your own, right? And man, she was just a sweetheart of a lady. And so we had fun and we joked around a little bit. And then I left. Prayed with her, prayed with the family, and I left. I said, "Listen, I'm going by here in the morning on my way to church. Can I stop by?" "Oh, yes, please do." I said, "Okay." So then I get a text that, "Hey, why don't you stop by after church?" I went, "No problem, I'll stop by after church." So after church, I leave here. For those of you who remember, I was like, I had to go quickly. "Hey, I got to go." And so I went over there and I stopped by after church, and grandma receives Jesus. Think about that. Lord, no, I needed both of them to get me through the week. And so I think about, how can you be silent? So Tuesday comes, Grandma passes, and I get a text. Pastor, she had the most peaceful look I've ever seen on anyone. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. The most peaceful look I've ever seen on anyone. And he's a police officer. And before a police officer, he was in rescue. So he's seen a lot. For a young man, he's seen a lot. And he's telling me his grandmother passes and she had the sweetest look about her. That's Jesus. There's two people that the devil's not going to get. If we know the truth, why would we be silent? If we know that which saves us, why would you not throw the lifeline to someone that needs it? I don't understand how we can be silent. And so Jude says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. And so now we're going to jump over here and we're going to look at 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to see what's going to happen in here. Before I go to that, I want you to read Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And if you can get it up, great. And if you can't, I understand. Got new people working in sound. And so praise Jesus. Thank you for that. And we'll be very patient as you learn to catch up. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so in Colossians 1, 9 through 14, it says, listen, you have redemption, you have been glorified, you have been redeemed, you have been purchased. I'm praying for you in everything and always, and that should be our attitude, to pray for each other, amen, that we are strengthened and that we walk as Christians even in the last day that seems to be taking us over. And I'm going to tell you, darkness will never overpower the light. Never. Never. Matthew says that in the end days, in the last days, that there will be, people will be deceived and there will be false Christ to come. And that, listen, it's going to be so strong, the influence of sin to appear as righteousness is going to be so strong that it would even fool the Christian. Here's the cool part. If it were possible. Those who know God cannot be fooled by sin. And so as we look into this passage and we are to be praying for one another and we are to hang in there, and in verse 10, that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, Colossians 1:10, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now that's so important, because as we move into some other passages here, you're going to find out that if you're not a Christian, you can't increase in the knowledge of God. Amen? And so here we see that as those who are saved, you will grow and you will increase in the knowledge and the understanding of God. If you're not saved, you're not going to grow in the understanding of God. Not only will you not grow in the understanding of God, but the things of God will frustrate you and infuriate you, and you won't want no part of it. And so if you are in a position where you don't want to hear the things of God, you really need to question, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because listen, if you don't want to hear the things of God, but you're a part of the church just because you want to be a part of something, or you're a part of the church because you're forced to be a part of the church, I'm going to tell you, you don't know Jesus, you have no hope, and hell is your eternity. Listen, these are simple ways that we have tests, if you will. You know, my favorite litmus test, Jesus said it. I say it all the time. And because I say it all the time, because I love it, because Jesus makes it incredibly clear. These aren't my words. These are God's words, Jesus' words specifically. And John 8:47, if you don't hear meaning believe and understand. That's what it means by hear. If you don't hear the word of God, you are not of God. You're not saved. And so if you hear the word of God and the word of God is like fingernails on a chalkboard, if that's what it is to you, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you're done. You're done. That's it. So he says in Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, not yours, but His, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Boy, I am going to tell you this. That patience and long-suffering with joy, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you sure you didn't like mean that? Like, I don't know where you got that one from, Jesus, but all right, you know, you said it. I got to believe it. It's true. Amen. But that's a struggle. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to have joy in the sufferings. And so then that brings us to 2 Timothy 3:6. And we're going to try to cover the rest of this in 15 minutes. And I believe I can do it. By a show of hands not showing, how many believe I can do it? Because some of you be like, I want to encourage him, but I'm not sure. So in 2 Timothy 3:6, sound, that's where we're going to be. And we're just keep going 6, 7, 8, 9 as we go on. Now, I've said all that on being strengthened and understanding and knowing God. And if you don't know God, and you're not strengthened, and you don't have understanding, you're going to be led away. And here's what you're going to be led away with. Your personal lusts. Now, you can say, well, you don't know my lust, and you're absolutely right. I don't know them. But I'll tell you who does know them. Satan. Satan and his little demons that run with him. And here's how they know. Because you show them every day. You, by what you look at. By how you talk. What you watch on TV. What you watch on your computer. Oh, you think you're all alone? You're not all alone. They know. And you're like, oh, Pastor, you're ridiculous. I already know that. So do they. Now, they're not all powerful. They can't be everywhere at one time. Only God can do that. But Satan has a plethora of demons that help him. And he has access to the computer too. All he got to do is go back and look at your records. And everything that you look at, he sees And he marks down and goes, ah, oh, yeah, I got something lined up for that one. They're going to suck them right in. You're showing your enemy your hand. You're not hiding it. You think you're hiding it. You're only hiding it from the eyes that see you physically, but you're not hiding it from God, and you're not hiding it from Satan. Both know. The difference is Satan's going to trip you up because he don't care about you, and God's going to hold you accountable. There's a difference. Amen? And so Satan doesn't give a rip about you. God loves you, but yet how many of us will not give our lives to Christ? So Satan sends in false teachers, and he sends them into the church to attack the so-called Christians. So here we go. In 2 Timothy 3:6. And by the way, I'm going to start in 3:1. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it real fast. 1 through 6. I want you to get this whole picture of what we're talking about. But know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. That's hardcore. I don't know about you, but there's absolutely no way I can read that section and feel good about it. Right? Because what about those we love that are acting like this? What do we do with them? We're got to go, I can't be a part of that. But you don't understand. You're right, I don't. But God does. Now we hit into verse 6. For of this sort, what sort? Those that I just read about, right? This is the sort that we're talking about. Of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now, I'm going to say this, but you guys need to hear what I'm about to say. In no way do I believe that Paul is knocking women. He's not. This is a very specific type of women. And Paul was watching it happen over and over and over again, like there was a trend that was going on. Now, if you look into all churches, the majority of the churches, people in the church are women. So, women, and so women can be moved for God, but they can also be moved for Satan. And Paul was watching this happen. And so he says, listen, I want you to be aware, because here's what would happen. The leaders of the churches and those in the church that wanted leadership, they would come into the house. They would worm their way into homes to gain control. And maybe they were doing it through, obviously it was false teaching. Maybe they would hold Bible studies. Obviously, they didn't have a Bible, but they would talk about the things of God. So maybe they would come in and hold Bible studies, and then they would start learning the people, and they would see victims. They would go after victims, right? And what kind of victims were they going after? Well, look here in 6 again. These people, these false teachers, these apostates, they would go in the house, they would creep in, right? They would go in like they were undercover, if you will, to give you an idea of what that looked like. And they would make captives of gullible women that were what? What were they? Loaded down with sin. Here's literally what he's saying. These are women that maybe love the idea of the church fellowship. Love the idea of religion. Maybe they were just kind of captivated by the whole process or captivated by the false teachers. Whatever it looked like, but these were women that these false teachers could expose. Or maybe these are women that agreed with the lifestyle that the false teachers were a part of. Take it however you wish. But no matter what, they were loaded down with sins, either sins because it was deep in their heart, or sins because they were part of the false apostate sin. But it says here that they were loaded down with sins and they were led away by their lusts, whatever the lusts were. Remember, I said in the beginning, you can't be gray, because gray usually goes more toward dark. And here you have women that were led away by their lusts. And Paul says, you better watch out. Listen, if mom goes astray, it's no different than if dad goes astray. What happens to the house? It falls apart. It falls apart. And when people, listen, the Bible says that when you sin, and you actively seek that sin, and when it gives birth, in other words, you fulfilled it. You fulfill the sin. It gives birth. Guess what's right on the heels of that birth? The Bible says it brings forth death. Do you think any of us are going to escape that? Do you think any of us are exempt from what the Word of God says? And so, what did they go after? Women. Not because women are weak, but I'm going to tell you one of the problems that women have, but God gave you the problem, so it's not a problem. It's a beautiful thing. It's just a problem when it's used in the wrong way. Just like men, when the gift they've given and it was used in the wrong way, it brings forth a problem. Women are emotional. They run off of emotion. That's how God designed you. That's why when you see a puppy, you go, oh. And a man sees a puppy, he's like, yeah, cute dog. It's going to grow up, though. It ain't going to stay that way forever. Right? And women are like, oh, but it's so cute now. And the man's like, I don't care. And the woman's like, oh, but you don't understand. Look at those eyes. Look at the ears. And then the dog does this. And you're like, oh, it melts my heart. And the guy goes, get in the car. Right? Like there's this huge difference between men and women. And women get emotionally driven and they're led away if they're not careful. This is what Paul's talking about. And he says, I see it time and time again. And so they found their greatest success in the homes of weak-willed women. Not weak women. I'm not saying women are weak. Weak-willed women, where they are more apt to give in to their lusts than what they are to follow God. This is what he's talking about. I love how the commentary puts it. It says, this suggests that women, perhaps the teachers as well, possessed a history of sin which remained unconfessed, loaded down with a past they could not relinquish or which they refused to conclude through confession. They became easy prey to faddish doctrines. Not only did their past remain unresolved, it left them susceptible to sins in the present. The weight of guilt reduces a person's ability to make proper decisions. It also leaves the conscience scarred so that temptations overcome the will more easily. And so what happens is these women become images, mirror images of the false teachers that they followed. And they were blinded to the truth. Look here in verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Always learning but not able to come to the knowledge of truth. And the reason that they can't is because Their mind is set on sin. Their mind is set on themselves, the flesh. And they haven't surrendered to God yet. And if you don't surrender to God, you're blind to the truth. As a matter of fact, the truth will become a lie to you. The truth, you will dogmatically go, I don't believe it. Well, let me show you in the Bible. I don't want to know what's in there. And so what will happen is the truth will become a lie to those who feed the flesh. Always learning, but never coming to the truth of the things of God. And then in verse 38, he says, verse 8, 3:8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. And so he says, listen, you know what? Just like Jannes and Jambres, who opposed Moses, they came in and they were setting this example like they were supposed to be somebody, but they opposed Moses. And so literally, they became sorcerers who opposed God's authority through Moses in Egypt. Because remember, throw down a snake, and they threw down their snake. And so literally, Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, look, these women are just like Jannes and Jambres. Man, they oppose the truth. So much so that they literally will fight the authority of God, especially in their lives. And so then he goes on and he says in verse 9, in 8 he says, men of corrupt minds, depraved minds, these people were incapable of comprehending God's truth because their minds were irrational and devoted to lies. Guys, this is strong stuff, man. You got to understand that when people fight the things of God, when you can't fight God, you're going to lose. And just like Jannes and Jambres was exposed, it was only a matter of time, so will these people who live in, who are gods or who are not gods, it's just a matter of time, they'll be exposed. And if you pay attention, these people who say they're a Christian or who say they believe in God, and then you watch their life, you cannot separate. You cannot separate people's lifestyle and the Word of God and think it's okay. And so when people say, oh, blah, 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 as far as acting like they're Christian, but then you watch their life. You watch their life and you listen to what they have to say and you go, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's just a matter of time before they will be exposed. And you know what's crazy? They won't even realize they're exposed. They will keep trying to convince people that they love Jesus. Meanwhile, they're serving their father, the devil. They won't even know it. They will be so consumed in their own lives that they don't even realize people are seeing the truth by what they say and do. You cannot separate your actions from your heart. And eventually, and I don't know if you noticed, but there are just some people who are brazen to just push their agenda. They don't even hide it anymore. That may mean everybody's coming out of the closet. And I'm not just talking homosexuals. I'm talking everyone, even the false teachers, those who Paul's talking about to Timothy, the apostates. They're coming out of the closet now, just brazen going against the Word of God and the people of God, and then yet to think and act like they're still of God. And so people of faith will show themselves, but those that don't believe eventually will show themselves, which is why it's so important that we show ourselves as well. You don't have to worry about this sound because I'm not hanging long. 2 Timothy 2:15, for those who are writing it down, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in 2 Timothy 2:21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, meaning and going up 19 and 20, that you leave sin, you depart from iniquity. Verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Guys, just like the scriptures say that there's the wheat and the tares in the church, right? And then they were like, well, hey, should we get rid of the tares? And he says, no, because if you get rid of the tares, you're going to tear up the wheat too. And so just leave it. Just leave it go. Leave it grow. And when it matures, it'll show itself. And then we can divide without hurting the wheat. And literally, he's talking about those who look like Christians and those who are. You're going to be exposed. I'm just saying, you will be exposed. And if you don't give yourself up because you can't control the lust of the flesh, it's just a matter of time before maturity comes and you're going to go, there they are, the wheat and the tares. It's clearly going to see them. This is what he's talking about. And so, guys, I'm just saying, as we look, we need to understand that it's only a matter of time. And in verse 21, 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, listen, if you go back and you repent and you walk away from your sin and you stay away from your sin and you quit allowing your sin to control your life and everybody around you, if you do that, then you know what? You're cleansed and you're forgiven. And then you will be, in verse 21, a vessel of honor. It's never too late to repent and return to God. You will be a vessel of honor and then, or for honor, and then sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. But make no mistake about it, there's gold and silver in the same house that there's wood and clay. Wheat and tares, guys, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. They'll separate themselves by showing who they really are. And then in 3:9 of 2 Timothy 3:9, but they will progress no further. Let's do 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. In other words, their minds are corrupt, and God's not approved them as being saved. Verse 9, but they will progress no further. Their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. Who's? Jannes and Jambres. Those who are living a fake life, meaning that they claim to be Christian, but they're not, they will be exposed just like these guys. It's only a matter of time. You can't get away with it but so long. And it'll come to light. It'll come to light. The thing for us is, when it comes to light, is not deny the light that has shined on it. As it goes on, we're going to see that the counterfeit exists by delusion and cannot withstand reality's judgment. Counterfeit exists by delusion and cannot withstand reality's judgment. They will not get very far. Psalm 73, and I'm going to finish with Psalm 73. Because I have already went over my time, and I apologize, but let's move forward. It says in Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, to such are as a pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. He's talking about the wicked. And it doesn't seem like they struggle like the righteous struggle. Amen? Hey, let me tell you something. It is very difficult to live for God when you're watching someone not live for God and it look like they are moving forward and we're being held back. That gets to be tough after a while. And so Asaph, who wrote Psalm 73, he's like, oh man, look, they're living the life. Well, they're not living the life. I'm just telling you. They're not living the life. Do not be fooled and tricked into believing that they are living the life. And so Asaph goes on. He's in verse 4. There are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore, as people return here and waters a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. You see, Asaph is struggling with this, and Asaph is like, look at everything they got, and I've served God, and I got nothing. Let me assure you, it may appear that you have nothing today if you're looking at your neighbors. But when it's all said and done, theirs is going to burn up and yours will not. You'll be in heaven with God where there is joy and dancing and fellowship forever and ever and ever. And they'll be in hell where there is burning and gnashing of teeth where the worm does not die. Do not be fooled into thinking. Sin has its pleasure for a moment. But in the end, it brings forth death. And so he goes on and he says, 14, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Let me encourage you, and I'm going to end with this. Go into the sanctuary of God. And you will get a peace and a joy that the world will never know. God will bless you beyond belief if you just go into the sanctuary of God. And Timothy talks about these people who have been fooled and drawn away. And I'm here to tell you, don't be fooled, don't be drawn away. I'm going to finish up here in verse, let me finish reading Timothy and I'll be done. Timothy 3:9. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or person of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do not be deceived. Hang in there. Fight the good fight. God will equip you for every good work so that you and I will have want for nothing. And we can do whatever God's asked us to do. And it's not until you repent of the sin you're living in can God deliver you. Do not be moved by apostates or false teachers. But go into the sanctuary of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time, Father. Thank you for the warning. Thank you for the encouragement, Father. Thank you for reminding us that, yes, sin looks like it is wonderful today. But, Father, if we go into your sanctuary, we realize that it is but for a moment. And, Father, if we want longevity and pleasure, we need to seek your face and live for you. Father, help us. Give us strength, Father. For those who are fighting sin, give them strength to win, Father. For those who are struggling, you say that you have made a way for them to escape and that there's no sin but that which is common to all men, but you have made a way of escape, Father. Shine the light brightly on that door of escape so they can run to it if that's their heart's desire. Father, for those who are running towards sin, I pray you have mercy on their soul. And Father, I pray that as they run to sin, that it doesn't bleed over into the families and destroy the rest. Father, that you keep it contained on the one running to sin. Spare the rest, Father. Father, I thank you and I love you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, if you're watching today and you do not know Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Christ, because until you do that, you have no chance of understanding the Scriptures nor living a life that is honoring to God. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, there are some requirements. You have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus conquered death and hell, and he's at the right hand of the Father today. That's what you have to do. You have to believe that God sent Jesus, his Son, to die on the cross so that you and I could have life and life everlasting. You have to believe. Faith comes by believing. There's nothing you can do to get to heaven except believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Not because the words are magical, the words will not save you. It's the fact that you believe. The words are just a timestamp where you can go, this was the day that I know that I gave my life to Jesus Christ and believed on him as my Lord and Savior. The words aren't magical. If you don't believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he died for you, then you're wasting your time and God's and everyone else's. So don't fool yourself and try to fake it through. It won't work. You either believe that Jesus is who he is or you don't. The prayer is just a time stamp. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus because you believe, pray this prayer quietly and in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, today I believe. Today I believe that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that died on the cross, conquered death and hell, rose on the third day, and you sit at the right hand of the Father. I believe that with all of my heart. And today I am just giving my life to you 100%. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me white as snow. I repent. I will turn away from my lifestyle of sin and I will walk in the direction of righteousness with your strength. Today I surrender being my own God and I make you my God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, you asked Jesus to be your Savior today, you said, I believe.